All morning, we've been telling you about what was in President Barack Obama's State of the Union speech last night. But what goes on in behind the scenes at an event like this, and what's it like to be there? Federal News Radio's web manager, Julia Ziegler, joins me live in studio. She was there last night. Julia, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so you had a really good seat, I understand.
We did. You know, we were very lucky. We were in the first row of the balcony in the House chamber. So we were dead center, staring directly ahead at President Barack Obama as he gave his speech.
So, we should point out the room is way smaller than it actually looks on television, isn't it?
It really is. It's funny. Once you're in the room and then as people start piling in and you've got all, you know, or most of the 535 members of Congress, and then you add in the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Supreme Court and the Vice President and the President and all of the guests that are there that the members of Congress also invite, that room gets pretty small pretty quick.
But I mean, the whole thing is about like a third the size of, say, the Verizon Center, right?
Yeah. It's, you know, there's not a bad seat in the House, pun intended. Because you're in
no,
the House chamber.
True enough.
But, you know, you can see everybody. You can see, you know, as we were sitting in that first row, we were directly over the aisle where everyone is announced and brought in. So the vice president, the president, the senators, the cabinet members. And, you know, even after they walked in and they walk up front, and obviously the president's giving his speech, but even, you know, where the cabinet members are sitting in those front rows, you can see them clear as day.
Yeah, okay. So, and I guess a lot goes on. This is not something the president does on the back of a napkin at lunch that afternoon before the speech. A lot of preparation goes into this whole thing, doesn't it?
There really is. And it's really important to remember that a lot of the preparation that goes on for this speech is actually being done by government employees, federal employees. You've got the House and Senate sergeants at arms, the House and Senate radio and TV galleries, that they're the ones that are actually helping coordinate all the media efforts that go on behind the scenes. The Secret Service, Capitol Police, because as you know, Tom, as we just said, just about every important high level official in the government is at this speech. And so security has to be tight. In fact, you know, we arrived at 7:30 p.m. and the event, as you know, really didn't get underway till about 8:35 is when it actually starts getting underway. Mm-hmm. You know, Speaker Boehner brings the House to order. But, you know, you're there fairly in advance so that you can go through security. And it's not just one level of security. It's multiple layers of security before you even get into the chamber itself.
I imagine a lot of helicopters flying around also.
That I don't know, but definitely a lot of police presence outside. As we walked up to the Capitol, we actually came in through Russell Building and then walked, took the tunnel over to the Capitol building itself. But Capitol Police, Metro Police, just about every kind of police service you can imagine. And then, of course, when you're actually in the chamber, Secret Service, all of those folks as well.
Yeah, what are some things you may not see on television that you could see from being in there?
Yeah, it's really interesting, you know, to just kind of take it all in when you first get in there. And I would say the most interesting part is just to see how collegial everyone is. You know, there's a lot of laughing. You know, these folks, when it gets down to business and members of Congress are you know, talking about legislation and holding hearings and oversight hearings, and maybe they get a little worked up and we see maybe the bad side of government. And in a night like this, everyone seems to be getting along. You know, you see folks from both sides of the aisle, both Republicans and Democrats, talking, chatting, laughing, talking with members of the president's cabinet, talking with the president himself, talking with the vice president. You know, you see these things happening. So one can only hope that maybe that energy would transfer on over once this session really gets underway.
And what about photography? Not allowed in the House chamber?
No, that's right. So, you know, while you want to take, you know, photos and things like that.
The ultimate selfie.
I said last night, you know, I actually felt bare. I had nothing on me as I walked into the chamber except for my ticket and a thing of chapstick. You know, your purse. I had no purse. I had no coat. You leave all that behind. You check all of that. So when you walk in, it's just your person. So really, it was the, you know, first time in maybe a long time that I was just me.
All right. We're speaking with Federal News Radio's web manager, Julia Ziegler. And so getting back to the preparations and the federal employees involved with that, there's a lot of administrative West Wing work that goes into this. And I think,
and there's also a lot of work that just goes into what's actually happening on Capitol Hill, Tom. So on Monday, when a lot of federal employees were off, what people don't know is that every part of this is orchestrated, right? So there is a certain succession of events that happen, and all of that is planned for and it's practiced. So on Monday, on Martin Luther King Day, when it was a holiday for many federal employees, a lot of staffers on the Hill were actually doing a dry run to make sure that everything went off without a hitch last night, and so that when you're watching it on television, you don't see, you know, it just seems like everything went smooth. And from what we could tell, everything did seem to go very smooth.
I imagine there's quite a sense of history there. I mean, that's the same pit from which, you know, Franklin Roosevelt came back from Yalta and spoke to Congress and so forth. When you think of the people that have stood there and the events that have been related there, it gives you a sense of history, I think.
It really does. And, you know, Tom, that's one of the things about living in Washington, D.C. that I think is so cool. It never gets old. It never gets old. I mean, you know, I've been here for 12 years now. I've been in the Capitol many times. I've been to the White House. I've been, you know, as I'm sure you have as well. But when you cross the Key Bridge and you look to your right or your left, depending what direction you're coming from, and you see the Washington Monument and you see the U.S. Capitol, or when you walk into the Capitol last night and you know that you're about to attend an event like this, there's just a sense of there's just a real sense of pride and of being a part of something that actually is a part of history.
And did anyone surprise you with how tall or short they were relative to what you expected?
Yeah, you know, good question, Tom. It's funny. So when all of the folks are entering down the center aisle in the House chamber, as you know, members of Congress get their hours early just so that they have a chance to shake the president's hand.
And the members themselves, I think, have to be there, right?
They do. That's right.
They can't send someone to sit and hold their place.
They have to be there. That's right. But what's funny is that the aisle itself is lower. You have to take a step up to get into those seats. So as folks are coming down the aisle, they actually appear a lot shorter than the folks that are standing beside them. So it's kind of hard to tell when you are above looking down. Everybody looks a little bit short.
Now, we played a clip this morning during which the president talked about jobs and so forth and infrastructure, and he mentioned, let's not just stop at one pipeline. And that got a pretty rousing cheer, but considering that Republicans are in the majority, was it only Democrats cheering that one, or did everyone seem to be clapping and shouting on that one?
Yeah, you know, another good question. It's interesting when you're in the room, what you can and can't hear, and sometimes things get muffled, and so... With that one, you know, people do laugh. It is, you got the sense that, you know, as I like to say, when you're in the room, there's no TV camera telling you what to see, right? It's your eyes and you're kind of looking everywhere. So people that maybe you wouldn't expect to clap or laugh do clap and do laugh. You know, Republicans clap for things that maybe you wouldn't think that they would clap for when it comes to a Democratic president. And so, I would say that the jokes and the laughs were heard by all sides.
All right, interesting. You know, the closest I come to that is at the opera, where Ruth Bader Ginsburg is a major fan, and she always is the last one in before they dim the lights and so forth. She's escorted and she has an aisle seat at the opera. I'm way up in the nosebleed, but I'm on the edge so I can see down when she comes in. But there is a little bit of, yeah, that's cool. You know, that's a Supreme Court justice listening to the same opera I am. And it's a common thing in Washington, but you're right. It doesn't really get old because the figures change and it is the capital of the universe in many ways.
And that's the thing. It doesn't matter where you come down on this politically, right? It doesn't matter if you're a Republican, if you're a Democrat, if you're an independent, a member of the Green Party, the Tea Party, whatever. Politics, it's not about politics. It's about the office. It's about the government of the United States. And so it really doesn't matter your political affiliation.
Julia Ziegler is Federal News Radio's web manager. Thanks so much for that inside look.
Welcome.